sneak it. We punch it. We break it. You better believe it. It is the State of Combat podcast on CBS Sports with the Brian Campbell coming at you on this Monday morning, ready to talk box, ready to break it all down, ready to talk about the punch, the right hand heard round the world when Deontay Wilder sent Dominic Brazil to the deep, dark depths of hell, brother. Take his howl soul away. Fired up to bring you the audio this week. Hey, it was a busy boxing weekend altogether, and you better believe the Brian Campbell is, of course, the voice that you hear.
I speak and believe and receive it. Speak and believe and receive it. Speak and believe and receive
it. Yes, yes. Thank you, Bronzy. Thank you, Bronze Bomber. All righty then. Look, big show planned for you today. Rafe Boogs will be in the house breaking down WBSS from Scotland, reacting to the Showtime card, spinning it forward to what we have coming next. And a reminder to all, if you get off on this audio, if you know what I'm really trying to say right there, if you enjoy this show, please, five-star review season, spin it forward. It's a show about nothing, right? It's a show about loads. Let's talk math. Let's talk e-jack. I'll never jack. All right? Let's talk box. Thank you. All right. Wow.
And it turned out that in this fight, at least, we brought you junk.
All right, Larry. Back it off there. Let me inject you with that performance-enhancing audio, and let me bring in my co-host. He is a New York Times high bestseller. It is. What is that noise? Is that we are live here? Poor guy, Rafe. Are you with me already? Already, we're having trouble here. Are you with me, Rafe? Tell me, are you with me? Tell me. Tell me.
Are you here with me or not?
He's not with me. All right. His name, though, is almost certainly Rafe Bartholomew.
Are you with me, Brian?
There he is.
Let me lick you up. Let me lick you down. Let's anyway. None of this Wilder crap.
Wow.
Anyway.
The rise of the monster. Rafe already wanting to talk Nyua. Anyway. Oh, we're going to get deep into those DMs. You better believe that. Rafe, full disclosure, if we have any audio issues, if we find out are you with me or not, I am in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the home office of CBS Sports. You are at your home in sparkling L.A. Let's hope this works out through the magic of Skype, right?
I think that's magic, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Would you say, Rafael, that even above Deontay Wilder, I mean, putting it on Dominic Brazil, that Nyua Inoue, the monster, is the story of the weekend?
Oh, I am fully prepared. I have my hipster erection ready for the Nyua Inoue talk, Brian. Yes, absolutely. More important fight, unification fight, better opponent, better fighters, better everything. Nyua Inoue. Now we have to talk about what happened in the heavyweight division, because I'm not entirely sure why we wanted to hype that any more than we would hype what happened with these little men, but we're going to do that because that's what we do. But yeah, it was Inoue's weekend, and it should be.
It was
Danny's
weekend.
Night for him.
Yeah, I mean, Danny has a stick, and it was a hipster hardcore weekend, despite being as mainstream as you can get with a heavyweight title main event from New York on Showtime, which is for the commercials, for the casuals, if you will. And them casuals were seeing that gif going around of one man banging. But first, before we get into all of that, let's set the stage. Let's do what we do.
Let's talk math. Let's talk boxing. But first, remember, the opinion you should follow should be your own. Just consider this video to be a second opinion. from a complete stranger online.
Or three complete strangers. Rafe, myself, Richie Dwyer. Thank you, Dwyer. That was Dwyer, right?
Hi, it's Dwyer.
Okay, there we go with that, Rafe. And before we get into this analysis and really just roll out the balls, if you will, and have a fun show, why don't we get all the business out of the way right now and maybe hear a nice little word from our friends, from our sponsors? Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about that. Enjoy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello everyone, it's Micah Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
All right, and we're back. Hey, Rafe, it's time. Let's break it down. Wilder Brazil happened, but let's skip right to what you were saying was the main event of the weekend. The monster cometh, Rafe. Co-main event, in the zone, Scotland, three division world champion, Naoya Inoue, the Japanese monster. Wow. Semi-final bout, WBSS 118-pound tournament. He sent Emmanuel Rodriguez to hell. Rafe, it wasn't that we didn't necessarily predict this would happen. It's just one of those things. You knew when you're going to get a new, eh? You're probably going to get a monster KO. But to see it play out in the vicious manner in which it did, three knockdowns, full-on explosion. Wow, buddy. Wow.
Yeah, Brian. Also, I think one of the things that's really, and this is something that we can overlook because even though we are part of the hardcore, we identify with that movement, right? We still don't quite know the lower divisions at the same level as we know everything from, say, featherweight on up. So it's easy to forget that this is Naoya Inoue doing this against a guy who is a fellow champion at the division, who at the beginning of the tournament, a lot of people believed was the biggest challenge to Inoue that Inoue would face. And well, it's actually looking like that may still be true, except he may get out of the tournament in less than five rounds total or something. And that he's doing this, he's dominating, destroying, just knocking guys out in one and two rounds at the top of a division. Think about the middleweight division when we had our monster there, Triple G. What happened when he got to the top of that division, when he finally faced those other championship level opponents? We still thought he was winning those fights even when those woman judges.
How dare you?
But yeah, those are your friends in Connecticut I'm talking about, those woman judges. But it wasn't a cakewalk. He's not blowing guys out in two rounds. He's not turning Matthew Macklin into bubble guts in two rounds. These were distance fights that he's winning close decisions or losing close decisions where we thought he should have won. This is, you know, Inoue fighting rough guys who aren't ranked on pound for pound lists yet, but are just at the top of this division and just destroying them. They got, just out everything them. They have no hope in these fights. It's something crazy is going on.
Yeah, you did mention that we are hardcore fans. We get off on this.
You are the boxing hardcore. You're not regular fans.
Exactly, but it's time to unleash this hardcore hipster monster on the general boxing world. I don't just mean general casual sports fans. I mean, on just those box fans who only had HBO and Showtime for the past decade and don't know about them cloud TV streams, don't know how to get that amateur adult movie spam accidentally on your keyboard while you're trying to search for Guillermo Jones versus Dennis Rubidub in Russia. And yeah, Rafe, it's time for people to know who he is. I already had him when I renewed my top 10 pound for pound in boxing last week. I believe I had him 5 or 6. You see people online now really making the push for him to number one. And by the way, I'm willing and ready to have a pound for pound discussion with you. It's not out of the question, Rafe, because 3 divisions, each time he steps up, he's blowing people away more destructively. He's 26 years old. He's 18-0 with 16 KOs. He's great-looking Japanese fellow who seems to have like this silent killer kind of under-the-radar charisma going on, and he brutalizes people. Emmanuel Rodriguez, very credible fighter, goes in there and actually lands shots in the first round. Inoue's aggressive style put him in situations to be hit with counter shots. But the moment in round 2, Inoue hit him with the first real legitimate punch, it was like, wow, game changer. Then he goes to the body for the second knockdown. Then he gets the third knockdown, and you're like, he just dismantled this champion. Now we have Inoue with 2 belts at 118, a division where we said when he moved up, will he have the power? Will he ceiling out? Rafe, there's no ceiling for this man. Pound for pound king, even if you're going in a trendy hipster Chocolatito type vote, it's in play, Rafe, right now, because this guy is ridiculous.
Yeah, let's talk about that fight or that and those knockdowns a little bit first, because these were some doozies. And also that first round, even though Rodriguez was having success, he did manage to land some shots. He didn't look like he was out of the fight or afraid. I did think that just watching him absorb some very heavy shots from Inoue and you just got the feeling like, no, that's not going to work. You're not going to stand in the pocket like that and try and win exchanges with this guy, because you can't take these punches as well as he's taking yours, and you're not landing as many. One of these is going to hit you in a different way. And it turned out to be first that left hook in the second round. Oh. That was just, oh man.
Oh my God. I mean, you took his nuts. Now you got to take his heart, right? And his soul. Like, oh my God.
You took his nuts. Now you got to take his heart.
Yeah, take his whole soul away.
Oh boy.
It took a piece of his soul.
Oh my God, Rafe. Ow! Ow! Look at this.
I think I did yell out in earnest, not even an ironic trying to sound like an homage to Manny Stewart, but watching the fight alone, I actually just yelled out, oh my God.
Yeah, basically.
Another hot beef injection.
So this man, Inoue, he's got the meat. Nioa had a stick, and good God, Rafe, if his power's not gonna top out at 18, and he even has a chance to eventually go up to 22 with that kind of power, then let me say for some things, we do have a new Manny Pacquiao under the spirit of the idea of taking a small foreign man who would have no right in typical boxing sense to become a star, maybe a pay-per-view star, maybe a crossover star, and the only way he would do that is by constantly climbing divisions and knocking suckers out like Manny did, friend of Thick Boy, who's now the mayor of the Philippines, maybe, or of Manila. You want to get into that later? He can't handle your girth, son. I mean, what's going on here with Filipino politics, Rafe?
Oh, well, nothing good. And this has long been a trend in the country and politics there. Very little good, very little positive comes out of the political world. Our guy, Buboy Fernandez, longtime friend of Manny, Senator Manny Pacquiao, did run for mayor in a town in Bicol province. Well, not Bicol is not a province, it's a region in southeastern Luzon. The town is, I think, off the top of my head, called Polangi. And I think it is in Sorsogon province. But it's interesting because I don't know his connection to the country, because all the stories are about him growing up with Manny down in Sarangani and General Santos City, parts of Mindanao where that are pretty far from where Buboy is now a mayor. I didn't know you wanted to get into this, but we can get all the way.
Well,
in.
Rafe, but we often ask what happened to Bobby Pacquiao. It's not the blow, like but he did disappear off the side of the earth. Yes, he's sort of the Frank Stallone, the Ozzy Canseco in terms of famous bootleg brothers. I think Buboy ate him, Rafe. I think that's what happened to Bobby Pacquiao. How is this guy Buboy, who, man, he's rotund. How do you just become vice mayor? What is vice mayor? Is this a celebratory position? Who is affecting culture more, Manny or Buboy? Is this real? Is this like is the American equivalent when you get Paris Hilton Kardashian level fame? Like, what if we just announced that Kim Kardashian has been added to Trump's board of whatever, the cabinet, because of popularity and Twitter followers? Is it the equivalent of that?
Name recognition is a big factor in Philippine elections at all levels, especially most at the national level for the senatorial races and the presidencies. But even in mayor elections, a famous person will come in, and because of their name, because it helps them campaign. They don't have to go out and actually do much at these political sorties where they just stand up and dance and sing some karaoke and give every, you know, feed everyone for a night, make everyone feel happy and hope that that sort of gets them the vote. Unfortunately, then you get these mayors and look, a celebrity, athlete, movie star, whatever, mayor, vice mayor, counselor, you could complain and say they don't end up doing much in the position, but the career politicians get those positions and don't do much either. There's a lot of problems with political dynasties.
Social commentary here from Rafe.
There's a lot of things I love about the Philippines. A lot of things that are wonderful about the country. Very few people will ever tell you that the country's politics are among the things that anyone should love about it. Brian, as much as I love this,
I am going to
be the responsible person here.
No, I got one more for you. Has Buboy ever put his hands in clitoris?
The gloves that I use in clitoris is, I like that glove. It's my glove. So,
like, does he get second-hand Manny Pinoy Puntang from being a celebrity?
I mean, are you talking about over the course of his life? Has it ever happened before?
Pre-girth or post-girth.
Not just girth, but also pre-born-again Pacquiao versus post-born-again Pacquiao. I don't know if he would actually get more before or after that conversion. You know, this is not really something we should speculate too much on. I think Buboy has done well, probably better than you might expect.
All right, from the lip to the cup, Buboy, and I know you don't know what that means, Rafe. Back to Monster. I nailed that. Look, if you want to call him your pound for pound king, again, it's not out of the question. But what about the idea, Rafe, of jumping out of the TV screen and actually becoming a known American boxing commodity because he's that stinking good? How does this happen? Does it need to be more rising of weight? Can it happen in DAZN where only the hardcores are watching, not regular fans, as Richard said? Talk to me here. Is this going to be the kind of thing where Nayoa Inui is our favorite indie band right now? And if we do unleash him on the world, we'll end up turning on him and hating him because all those girls that don't know music are suddenly like, Dave Matthews is the best band since Zeppelin. You know what I mean? Is this going to be one of those situations, Rafe?
I could see that happening if he really did blow up like that, of course, because it happens every time any fighter, and it happens with the bands. It's sort of a common occurrence, especially with a niche audience as the boxing hardcore audience is at first. When someone breaks out of that, then it turns into, well, we also understood his flaws when you never did. We always sued. So it turns into the same, the Triple G backlash, look, as fans, we backlashed a little bit against great little guys like Chocolatito Gonzalez when people were saying, oh, you got to put him number one on your pound for pound. We're like, do we really have to? I'm not sure that I really have to. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that backlash cycle. It's just it's part of sports. It's part of culture. It's no big deal. I think that right now, in terms of the pound for pound question, put him as high as you want. Now, there are some people making extremely, extremely strong arguments that, oh, anyone who didn't see that Inoue was better than Lomachenko for the last 5 years is just an idiot. I've known this. I mean, so basically the people saying that are like, when he beat some Thailand guy, I can't even, like, Pasabini Watatuku, like, that made you the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world in 2014?
No, that's, it was like background music right there over your commentary. I loved it. Yeah, that like get off the pot. All right. Stop it. But look, he's in the conversation. I want a quick commentary on pound for pound. I'm not going to go down. I released my new one. I don't care to go down the Rafe Who's Your Top Five, but I do have a quick commentary. Since a lot of us started watching boxing, there seemed to be reigns of pound for pound kingdom. Right? It was like Roy, you know, it was like Roy Jones, if you want to start there, handing it off to Floyd, who, yes, there was maybe a fight where people thought Shane Mosley was after he beat Oscar, or maybe there was a moment that people thought either Oscar or Trinidad was, or maybe even a moment where somebody liked Hopkins. But in reality, Rafe, it's been like the Roy Jones era handing off to the Floyd Mayweather era, and then there was that point that coincided with Manny's rise and Floyd's retirements, where it was the Floyd and Manny era. Then it became the Floyd era again. And then both Chocolatito and Andre Ward had cups of coffee as pound for pound king. But right now, 2019, is the most unique I've ever seen pound for pound debate and talk in my life. Because I think right now, Rafael, Boogs, Rafe Bartholomew, Rafe Bathroom, as my kids call you, I think there are six professional boxers who have a legitimate claim for the pound for pound number one. Not hipster, legitimate. And I've never, ever seen it like this before, Rafe, where there's no clear cut king because there's like three or four different trains of thought. And there's six guys who I think you could legitimately make a case for. Am I right? Am I crazy? You with me on this? Tell me. Are you with
I'm
me?
I'm with you. I like this argument, Brian. This is a pound for pound discussion that I can get behind. Yes, because it is such a subjective ranking, and every fighter deserving of consideration has both reasons to sort of lay his claim to the Iron Throne. Jesus, I can't believe I said that.
No Game of Nerds talk on here, please.
the throne of Jack.
I'll never.
Each of those fighters has his own claim to that title, but then depending on what's in the eye of the beholder, each observer finds the most special or the most telling about that fighter's characteristics, you can make arguments for these different fighters, and there is none of them has that signature reason or that thing that just sets them apart where you can say, oh, well, you really can't argue, okay, he's the best. Like this guy holds that title. It is interesting and it's fun. I do kind of like that aspect of it. It's only when it turns into someone saying, anyone who disagrees that it has to be Canelo because of his recipe. We losing the recipes, his resume. I'm sorry. Anyone who says
please.
That it has
if you're
to
gonna,
be Canelo.
If you're going to do Michael Irvin, do it right.
This is what's wrong with today. The young ladies today, they're not learning from mom. How come we're losing recipes?
We are losing. I'm losing everything over here. Brian, anyone who says it has to be Canelo because of his resume, anyone who says it has to be Inoue because of the way he's dominated his best opposition so far, anyone who says be Errol Spence or it has to be Terrence Crawford just because of how great they look, who the heck knows? You don't know. It doesn't have to be anyone. It is one of these guys, and hopefully we will get answers, or we don't even need, I mean, they can't all fight each other, but time will tell. Someone will emerge, and it could be Inoue. He's young, he's got more time to climb at least.
What I like about it, and this is what some people hate about it, is it's so close at the top that it's almost like every time one of these guys fights and they look great, we slide them back into number one or number two. Like for me, I've held Lomachenko firmly at one for a while, but I've slid 2, 3, 4, and 5 around like crazy. So I'm going to read the six names that I mentioned. And all I want from you, Rafe, is a yes or no that there's a legitimate case for these guys for number one. Are you ready? Are you with me?
I am with you, Brian.
Vasily Lomachenko.
Yes.
Terrence Bud Crawford.
Yes.
Errol Spence Jr.
A milder yes.
Canelio.
Yes.
Naue the Monster Inoue.
Yes.
Alexander Usyk.
No, not yet.
Wow.
Not guy, but come on.
The guy with the Usyk hoodie is saying, hold on, BC, I liked your theory up until that point.
Well, one, I kind of thought number six was going to be Harry Grebs. He has still got to give him consideration.
I don't even know if Harry Grebs' grandchildren have fought, but I have him at least in my top 15 pound for pound on respect alone, all right? Thank you. Very
rightly well. So. He earned that. He earned that.
Rafe, you know what kind of day it is today?
It's a hard one day for me today.
It really is. I'm happy about life. I'm excited. I'm a week removed from my first prostate exam. So life every day I separate myself from that moment is getting better, Rafe. Don't turn 40, brother. Don't. What are you trying to say?
I'm saying that also means you're getting closer to your next prostate
stop
exam.
Stop that. No. I won't. I can't imagine somebody like Teddy allowing an exam like that to happen because it's.
Rafe, you think I let that doctor in that place where that thing does that thing? No, I don't. He had me flipping cheeseburgers.
All right. Yeah.
He told me he was going to drive a golf cart. It ended up being a Mack truck. But...
he put water in my basement and then he put hot beef. And then, yeah. All right. But yeah. This is why we can't have a good show, people. This is why the word on the street is that this is a show about Jack, but we would never Jack. Okay. So that is the truth and the case. All righty then.
I'll never fuck. I won't jack. I'll be there till I can't breathe.
See, I'm Rex rated and they're not. That's the difference. All right, Rafe. Monster moves on and now we get into the next part of the monster discussion. And that is your boy, the Pinoy Prince, Nonito De Niro. I think you should finish. I think you should finish right now, Rafe. I think he should jack right now, bro. Wow, this is so WWF because like Nonito benefited from injury to Ryan Burnett in that fight to get it to advance, then full on injury to Zolani Tete so we didn't hear the lullaby song and he fought some scrub, and now your reward is to fight the killer. Wow, Rafe.
Yeah, this is like I might give Nonito a better shot against like Jason Voorhees in a fight. Like this is rough. It's tough because Nonito is a prideful guy. He's had a good career. He's been almost a top level pound for pound fighter earlier in his career. He deserves to carry himself with that level of pride and believe that he can go in and win a fight. It's just so hard to see him at this stage of his career having any kind of success, and it's so easy to imagine just really, really brutal knockouts in that fight. It's like what he did to Jorge Arce once upon a time, and boxing we know is a pretty circular sport. You know, these things come around if you are a good enough fighter to last as long as he has. You end up getting your reward ends up being something like this pretty often, which is both. It's part of the bittersweet poetry of the fight game, right, Brian? I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I'm happy that he gets the opportunity, but it's like the opportunity for what? And the crazy thing is when they made the brackets, I remember thinking like, man, I'm just afraid that somehow Nonito grabs a couple of upsets or something happens. He ends up fighting Inoue in a title and it's like the beginning of the movie Kickboxer all over again. His son is there watching at ringside. He gets tong po'd by by Naoya Inoue. I mean, it's scary.
Yeah, this will be a tug and war of death, not kindness. Okay, so my initial reaction was obviously what we're all thinking of Nonito. Like, we love you. Don't, and you always go out on your shield. I mean, really, we can say nothing bad about what Nonito has done in his career in terms of trying to fight the best, not quitting, all that stuff. At first, I'm like, you're going to, Poppy, your son's going to die. Now I had some hipster talks while I was in Brooklyn in the back, you know, the media room area at the Barclays Center before Wilder Brazil. And some hipsters were like, well, hey, how about this, bro? Nonito is moving down two weight classes for this tournament. Inoue is in some ways moving above his natural weight for this tournament. Both bang. You're telling me that even if I predict now that Donaire ends up getting stopped, you're telling me he won't be in this fight? You're telling me that we are for sure in belief that Inoue has a world-class chin, that even a Hall of Fame guy who was just at featherweight, who can bang, him and his brother used to bang it out all the time, Glenn Donaire, you're telling me that this guy can't go in there and maybe do it? Maybe do anything, Rafe, but end up dead. And I go,
no, I do think there is a realistic case for, hey, he could go in there and do a lot better, look surprising. Because he still has that power, and it's easy to imagine he's coming off a huge knockout over Stefan Young, who was a replacement, but it doesn't matter. You see a knockout like that and you're like, ooh, maybe, you know, he still got it. And that left hook, the power in that left hook was not good, Brian. It was not great power in that left hook. You know what kind of power it was. It was historic power.
The raw dog?
That left hook. Yeah. It was not Birdo. Yeah. It was the raw dog.
Yeah, I'm ready for this.
And I could also imagine, you know, one of the things about Inoue is he fights with this incredible confidence and composure. He just goes in knowing he is going to destroy you. And could you imagine a scenario where that works against him in this fight against Donaire, where he comes in and is like, not even, that doesn't show him any respect, thinks, I'm just going to walk right through you, old man. And he gets clipped. He gets caught by the perfect shot. And it is that Hall of Fame historic shot. And somehow Nonito pulls it off. Is it possible? I actually think it is possible. Would I expect it to happen? I think it is a very long shot. I think Inoue is too explosive, Brian. He will land his punches first and he will just destroy it. You know, that's what I think will happen, but it's not crazy to say, well, pump the brakes. This is the slaughter, blah, 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 blah. But it is, you just,
yeah. Speaking of pumping the brakes,
he pumps it more than once.
That is true. You'd have to believe in flying kangaroos, I think, to predict a Donaire win here, as Teddy once said about the Horn Crawford fight. But Rafe, it would be a spectacularly emotional and historic win. Like, it would be, I almost want to be like, it would be George Foreman, Michael Moore levels, but, you know, Inoue we think is better than Michael Moore was at that time, and George Foreman is better than really Donaire is at this time. But still, it would be one of those, like, greatest moments by an old fighter in history. It would be spectacular. If you're Rachel Donaire, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
Stand right by your man. You believe in this man. I mean, and you've already seen him fight the Axeman. You've seen him lose in different ways.
Yes.
You've seen him come back in different ways. You've seen him rise from the ashes, so to speak. This is, you know, you could, do you want her to pull the Melissa Cotto on him right now? Do you want to hear that from Nonito? You'd love that. It's your favorite thing that ever happened in boxing. You want Nonito to be in there before the fight being like, This is all I do. This is all I have. What can I do, Rachel? That's what you want?
Would you risk it all for Rachel, or you that upsets you to talk about?
You ask me this every time. The answer is no for a million reasons. Right. I am taken, Brian, and she is taken. And I respect Nonito. I respect the bond of marriage, whether it's my, even though I'm unmarried, I'm not out here trying to do stuff like that.
So basically what you're saying is you don't normally talk about women on this podcast unless you fornicate with them. That's really what you're saying.
Look, when you put it that way, there are some woman judges out here that I should probably stop talking about because I have not fornicated with them.
Wow.
I'm going to make you my girlfriend.
Yeah, okay. All right. Quickly on that WBSS main event from Scotland. And by the way, were you down with this broadcast UK team that included Carl Frampton on color? Because his accent is so freaking thick. It's deep in Belfast. I had trouble even understanding him, Rafe.
I listened to the Carl Frampton TKO podcast, Brian, so I am now on the wavelength. I hear Jimmy when it comes to the Jackal. The only person who I haven't been able to understand on that podcast was the great Martin Murray. We need to look up where he's from. We need to revisit his collaboration, what the collaboration that brought about his accent, because that's a tough one for me to pick up when he's talking to. It took me three times listening to his drug stories about street robbing and being drinking the full bottle of JHB, and I was just like, what are you saying? What? But I'm cool with Frampton, and okay, this is a little bit of the main course, but the thing I liked about Frampton, and it wasn't really anything he did, but it ended up being foreshadowing for the night, for the whole day of boxing. The theme of the day was post-knockdown reaction shots. And after the second Inoue knockdown, they zoom in and you can see Frampton at ringside. He just has this look on his face where he like looks over at Inoue and shakes his head like, God damn, that man is something else.
Like Frampton's probably thinking to himself, if I go to 130 now, it's probably safe enough distance from this monster, right?
like I would
Rafe, are you with me right now? I'm really questioning if you're with me right now. Oh, boy. Oh, man, Rafe. Please, tell me.
Are you here with me or not? Look at me.
Are you with me?
Look at me. Are you with me?
Oh, boy. Oh, you're back,
Rafe. Deontay Wilder knocking.
All right, Rafe, we didn't hear any of that. I'm sorry. You weren't with me. Now you're back. We didn't hear any of that, okay? It's the truth. You spoke. No one heard it. This is live podcasting, Rafe. It's not supposed to go down like this, all right?
Are you with me?
Now I'm with you. Nobody heard anything you said, Rafe. Do you hear me? Do you hear the words coming out of my mouth? Do you know how bad this show has turned, Rafe?
You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, Brian?
All right, what did you say, Rafe? The people, they need it.
Well, I don't – where was I?
I don't know, Rafe, because you
– Oh, man.
Lost you.
All right. You know what then?
You were
going to
say
it.
– Yeah, screw it. Rafe, screw let's
it.
Get
you know
into –
You know what? We're going back. Let's talk. Baranchik Taylor.
That
guy's good, man. I'm telling you, that guy's good. He might be the – I'll tell you right now. You can laugh at me. I'm going to pick him over Ruguru when that fight happens.
Rafe, I'm finally woketh to the level I need to be. I love me some Tartan Tornado. I love me some Josh Taylor from Scotland. Wow. Love this fight because we know Ivan Baranchik comes to do two things at your party, right? Right? Get an Aryan haircut and bang. And that guy, I mean, wow. Rafe, this fight, Josh Taylor, he wears the kilt-like trunks. He kind of looks visually like a junior welterweight version of Andy Lee, just by the way he stands and holds himself up, but he's got some slickness. He uses his size well and stands behind his guard. He's got some balls. He's a southpaw. 16-0 with 12 KOs? And he's rising, Rafe. And this was a hard fight because Baranchik puts power behind everything he throws. Freddie Roach in his corner. And we knew there was potential. Unless Josh Taylor could come out and do a winky right to Felix Trinidad type of takedown where it's just I'm going to just out-slick you for 12 rounds and you have nothing. We knew there could be a moment of truth here for Josh Taylor. And there was in round five, Rafe. I know it was sort of started by a, not a headbutt, but Josh Taylor ran into the shoulder of Brancic and it sort of wobbled him. But in the midst of that, when Taylor started to get lit up by Brancic, he was calling him on in ways that weren't smart. And they went at it in a phone booth in round five. And that was both Brancic's moment to win the fight and Taylor's moment to show us whether he is for real. Whether he, in this open field at 140, where we're trying to find out who's the best, and thank God we have things like the WBSS who actually make that happen, by the way. Rafe, he withstood that storm, and did you see the first knockdown in round six when he came back, floored Brancic twice, and that first one on that left hook, good Lord, Rafe, that counter shot, this guy can fight, he has a stick, I'm behind him. Limitedly behind. I'm behind him, Rafe.
Buy that tartan tornado stock. The thing I'm really impressed with right now is that we've gotten the chance to see him tested and he's answering those questions. That's something, it's not the fault of a lot of the fighters we're so excited about because they're either blowing out good competition or they're just not getting the better kinds of competition to test them in these ways. But we've seen Taylor come back on the cards against Victor Postol. We've seen him get knockdowns in that fight that helped him make that comeback. We've seen him, like you said, respond to getting a little shooken up by the weird collision followed by Baranchuk trying to seize that moment in the fifth round and then answer, come right back and knock him down. Taylor knocked Baranchuk down twice in the sixth round. He has something. I'm not willing to go all the way out on the limb and say that he is a guy who will be in that pound for pound discussion, but I really like what I see, both in terms of the way he handles himself in the ring, his bang a little bit, control distance. He does a little bit of everything. I really like it, Brian.
So here's the deal, Rafe. And yes, he'll bang. Bang, bang. He does that. In the fifth round, we...
I am more man. I have bigger huevos.
Those Scottish huevos are impressive. But Rafe, let's have a real talk, all right? We're American boxing fans. Here's the real talk. It's very easy, as Dwyer would say, to fall in love with a fighter who no longer exists. And many times as American boxing fans, we have fallen in love with a Caucasian UK fighter who we thought may have been something that he wasn't. And almost exclusively, Rafe, these guys wasn't. You know, I mean, do we have to bring in Sean Porter to basically spell it out for us at this point?
It ain't.
Are you saying Josh Taylor ain't?
And it won't. And you're not. And you ain't.
I'm saying by... Yeah.
Simple as that.
I'm from the lip to the cup. I'm saying by definition, Rafe, these guys are meant to break our heart. Like, yes, Ricky Hatton will go down as a Hall of Famer. His career was great. But he was angling to be the greatest from that region, going up to the top of the pops to fight Mayweather and Pacquiao. And even he ultimately, when he came to America, disappointed and proved he doesn't have it. But there's been many, many guys below him, the Lewis Ritson Sandman types, two higher guys, Rafe, who look friggin' fantastic on the domestic level. They steal your heart. They steal your wallet. But when they get in that airplane, or they get on that boat and they cross the streams and cross the shores and they come to America and they get on the brightest stage, Rafe, they get sent to hell in a British handbasket. Does Josh Taylor have it when he goes in there with Regis Progre for three of four 140-pound world titles, which, again, thank you, WBSS, for doing things in boxing that other promotions won't do, right? Not just kissing men on the lips, not just that type of stuff, but making tournaments that crown kings of divisions. Rafe, does Josh Taylor have it for real, or does he have it to stimulate me, move my needle, and then ultimately he's going to get his heart broken and his jaw broken, and he's going to get sent to hell by an American?
Well, that's again, you already thanked the WBSS. I want to thank them too. I want Callie Sauerland. You can kiss me on the lips for giving me all of this great boxing, all of these matchups, all of these meaningful fights that lead to a point and really make the case that the person who comes out on the top of this hill when they get to a championship level, when they get to the Muhammad Ali trophy, your big giant gold slinky, that is going to be that means something now because of who you have to beat to get there. And look, yeah, we're gonna learn something about Josh Taylor against Regis Prograis. We're also gonna learn something about Regis Prograis. Can some of the way that Prograis doesn't do everything according to classic boxing techniques, some of the times he pulls back with his hands down, some of the flashy flash he's pulling in there, will that work against a guy who's got the reach and length of Josh Taylor and the classiness? That's the thing. Not only do I not fall in love with fighters who no longer exist, Brian, I don't fall in love with Caucasian fighters like you do. Sometimes
how
I like
dare
them,
you?
Sometimes
what do I have
I
a
don't.
History of liking, like Jason Litzau and who else? Nobody else. Well, I did proclaim David Price the heavyweight would be the next big thing, and yeah.
All well, right. You're the one who brought this trend up, and it is something, especially, it's more of a UK fighter thing, that where these guys fall short when they reach that world level. But to me, Taylor looks different. He's not one of these, well, he's a bit of a banger, he's a bit of a brawler, but he's got some class and he's tough as nails. He'll figure out a way to gut out the win. Josh Taylor, the way he looks, he's not a guy who's going to gut out wins. He's a guy who, I mean, he can if he needs to, I think, or it's looking like he may be that kind of guy. But I think he appears to be the kind of fighter who will go in and beat other elite fighters by boxing, by jabbing, by outmoving them, by being able to compete on an athleticism level with fighters from the United States, with fighters who aren't pasty white guys from Glasgow and Sunderland and all of the Enderlands in the UK. Yes, I think he looks like the kind of fighter, athlete, talent who has panache on the world level. The same way Tyson Fury has panache on that world level. That's why I believe in Josh Taylor. He is not waste of time. He's not rubbish. He has panache.
It's going to be interesting. I love that Ruguru traveled there. I love that they did a little face off in the ring. Rafe, this is must see TV when they book this. I hope the winner ends up facing, Ramirez of Top Rank and ESPN. Who isn't he trying to face Hooker?
He's a hooker.
Maurice Hooker, Mo Hooker, Hooker headlines. On DAZN, I give Top Rank credit for this, by the way, allowing Jose Ramirez, as they're trying to set this up, to go to DAZN to fight Hooker. Rafe, it seems that we are headed to actually finding out who's the best 140 in the world. And sometimes you can get what you want in boxing, right?
Right. But honestly, these guys who are not in the WBSS, Maurice Hooker and Jose Ramirez, both good fighters. Both, I understand how they got their claims on 100, but you know what? These guys aren't the real at this weight. My eyeballs tell me that, and I believe my eyeballs, my eye holes. I know, I don't know everything about boxing. I can be wrong, but I'm pretty confident that the cream of this division are Prograis, Taylor. I think Brancic would beat both Ramirez and Hooker.
Wow.
Those guys, they're the Lucian Dutés of this tournament. Wow. And that's why they aren't in it.
They're wearing white pants and loafers without socks. That's really where you're going with this? You got to look at the entire man, Rafe, okay? Because
I've looked at a lot of guys.
I mean, how many guys, Dwyer? How many?
Many guys. Many guys. many guys.
And when it comes to
looks up par.
Yep, they do. And when it comes to many guys wearing white pants in public like Lucien Boutte.
Folks, that's not the way men do it.
You know? All right. Well, you're back, Rafe. I was pausing, entertaining the crowd with sound drops. You're back. Daddy does love pot.
That kid think that daddy has some pot coin because daddy endorses the use of marijuana.
Wow. Hey, shout out to Campbell, California and the fine boxing fans there. Hopefully they are able to find a secondary location to watch a Canelo fight, Rafe. We will follow up on that. We will report on that and find out what, you know, what did happen there. So thank you.
Let me ask you, Brian.
Yeah, what do
where's you got? A great place to watch a Deontay Wilder knockout? Is it from maybe five rows back with the camera in your face, slack jawed, or maybe is it from five rows back with your iPhone in your face?
What was going on? So Dan Rayfield's sitting next to me, and now, of course, the slow-mo video of Deontay Wilder sending Dominic Brazil to hell on Saturday night on Showtime from the Barclays Center has made the rounds everywhere. Millions of retweets. Many, many guys have seen this clip, and I somehow was the only one that watched this with a straight face. Sort of, I mean, on the inside, I was going, oh my God, but my face was whatever. Everyone else was jaw dropped, including, Miguel Flores, Ray Flo's brother, who was ringside and had, it became the star of that moment because his face looked like somebody had, somebody had checked his prostate basically in the moment there. But, Dan Rayfield next to me had his phone out, but had it out in like an old guy way of either, was he trying to capture a picture? Was he checking his emails? I don't know, Rafe. We'll have to dig a little bit deeper, but that's been the talk of the internet. But Rafe, oh my God. A first round knockout wasn't out of the question for this fight, given the punchers, the size, the bad blood between them. But, separate from this hipster, angry, cranky response on Twitter I'm seeing of people going, well, Wilder still can't fight and Brazil sucks anyway. Outside of that crap, Rafe, how freaking devastating was that 1-2 hiding the right hand behind the jab and sending a guy who, yes, doesn't move his head, but is a credible heavyweight contender to the basement of hell, Rafe? Good Lord, I was there. In fact, I'm not going to ask you. I'll tell you. Rafe, that was violent as ish. That's heavyweight title boxing. That's wow. Them are men in there. Wow, brother. I mean, sometimes you got to take a step back and just say, like, I mean, he ripped his suit off and showed that ass, Rafe. That was like, wow. Humbling. Were you not moved
humbling,
by this?
Humbling just to watch. I'm with Scary you, Brian. Humbling. I am with you. I'm hearing Jimmy a little bit when it comes to those hipsters tweeting in my ear, chirping a little bit. You know what they're saying? They're saying, against who?
Yeah, we got that drop on this board.
Against who? Against who?
All right. Yeah. What do you got?
Cause this, Brazil has not really ever been good. He's been going to war with Negrons
did you just get racist right there? Where are you going with that?
No, what's the guy, Negron. His last opponent, Negron.
Yeah, here's the deal, Rafe. I'm ready to say it like this, okay? This is not the 1970s or not the 1990s where heavyweight boxing was so deep and you had contenders and even pretenders who you can argue would be world champions today. But we have what we have, and it is a little bit of a renaissance division, and we have the super elites of Wilder, Joshua, Fury. Are they on the level of the super elites from the 70s and 90s? Probably not, but they are who we are and who we have right now. We've got the sub elites of Luis Ortiz and Povetkin, and then we have the Class B and Class B+. And you could say all you want that Brazil sucks and he doesn't move his head and all this stuff, but for 2019...
He is a pretender in that class. He was built up on garbage, hot garbage. He got that shot at Joshua because he was an easy mark, a PBC fighter who was worked up the rankings and they cashed his ass out. He's been worse since he took that beating.
Wow. You just beat Pauly and took his girl with that one. What I'm saying here is I'm not trying to tell you Brazil is a world beater. What I am trying to tell you, Rafe, and apparently you're not with me right now, is that Brazil is a B heavyweight fighter in 2019, a guy who gets title shots. A guy who in those title shots tries to win. A guy who at this point, call him pretender all you want, only has two losses, and they are on the title level against probably the two best heavyweights in the game right now. Is he great? No. Would he have a chance to beat the Ray Mercer, Burt Cooper types? And shout out to Burt Cooper passing away, by the way, RIP. Probably not. But for 2019, he's a B heavyweight you need to get through to get to the next level and get to that next big fight. And the one thing I'll say about him, Rafe, he tries to win fights. He talked the talk, and he came in there, and he actually connected with a pretty good right hand on Wilder when he got backed up into the corner, and he was there to fight. He was there to try to win, unlike some of these other schlubs. So I don't necessarily get the reaction of Wilder still sucks and Brazil sucks worse. Brazil's a tough out in 2019, where we don't have a legendary group of heavyweights, and Wilder went in there and beat the S out of him in one round in highlight reel all-time scary fashion quicker than Joshua did. And I think it's time right now, Rafe, that we realize who Wilder is and how he's evolving. He's freaking dangerous as crap. Did Fury expose his deficiencies? Yes. But Fury is a historic heavyweight in the fact that he does things other heavyweights won't do. And I don't just mean lift up Surf and Safari and boy shorts and kiss him, Rafe. So what I'm saying here is this knockout win was unreal. And Rafe, Wilder is getting better every time. And I have a very important question to ask you. Are you ready for this? I'm ready for you to counter me and say, Campbell, stop it right now. Brazil's a D-class heavyweight, and Fats DeVern in that rematch never should have been in that ring. But, Rafe, there's this thing called the Bronze Bomber. When Wilder gets really mad, and he turns into, like, recklessly aggressive and dangerous heavyweight, almost like a throwback to round one Mike Tyson from the 80s, in terms of the intentions that I'm going to go in there and knock you the F out. I know you don't put a lot of stock in that rematch with Stiverne and how he got him out of there, but there was a confidence level that was almost scary in the execution and how he did that. I saw that Bronze Bomber come back out in this fight. I didn't see it against Fury. If he can channel that, if he can enter each fight, whether it's against Joshua or Fury, or whether it's against Konatsky or that fisherman, what's the guy's name that we love so much, from France?
Duhapas.
If he can come in, cause I don't think, Rafe, he came in against Gerald Washington, Duhapas, Eric Molina, with the intention of, I'm going to stop you in rounds one, two, or three. I think he came in with the, let me jab, let me set up my shot, and then as those guys got tired, he put them away. Rafe, I think he is maturing to a level mentally, physically, and figuring out technique-wise what he can do. He may be ready to actually become this generation's Tyson from the standpoint of, I'm going to go in there, and if I decide to try to KO you in the first few rounds, I don't think you can survive against me, unless maybe you're Tyson Fury. Am I making this crap up and Brazil just sucks, or are we seeing a guy evolve into a level where, technique or not, he may be the best heavyweight in the world?
I think that I agree with the point about him fighting in a way where, look, if I'm going to knock you out right early, that's a good thing for me to do. That might be his best way to enter every fight. The alter ego stuff, the Bronze Bomber stuff, revisit his collaboration at the face-to-face with Tyson Fury when Tyson Fury said what basically called BS, pulled his card on the alter ego stuff and laughed at him. Cause that's how I think. It's BS, Brian. It's just stupid marketing it's just a joke, man. Yeah. You know why he looked great against the two guys who weren't trying to get out of the way of his punches and stood there and let him knock them. They were there to do that. If you do that, he has no pen. You know what else I can say about the Bronze Bomber? He's got no panache.
No flair, no show. Waste of money.
And against guys who know what they're doing and are capable of making him miss, as we saw against Tyson Fury, I don't think he was less motivated in that fight. He seemed plenty motivated at the weigh-in the day before when he was going, to this day rant, right? He seemed pretty mad in that moment. You're saying he wasn't mad when he got in the ring?
No, let me clarify.
To this day,
to this day.
He admits that he sort of froze against Tyson Fury, and I agree with that. And I
you believe that? You really believe that, son?
Okay, I'm a Tyson Fury guy.
Because he got beat.
All right, I'm a Tyson Fury guy. Tyson Fury outclassed him. Tyson Fury won that fight. What I'm trying to say is I do see a Wilder in that fight who, once it became clear he wasn't going to be able to hit Fury the way he wanted to, that sort of froze on the moment of the stage and wasn't his best self and rallied, put it together late and rallied to kind of save face, but still didn't deserve the win. But what I'm saying is I'm not saying the Bronze Bomber thing from sort of a, you know, devilish, spiritual, let me go into my alter ego, and if I do, you can't beat me. I'm talking more about the mindset of becoming the Bronze Bomber and saying, I don't care if you're Tyson Fury, AJ, or anyone. If I decide to walk you down in the early part of a fight and go for it, there is not a person that can take my stuff. Because, Rafe, I don't think he tried that against Fury. I think he got in there, tried to box a little bit, was getting outclassed and was missing and was getting kind of played with, and then sort of settled into one punch at a time mode. I'm saying if he decides to go there because of his athleticism and his long jab and add a little bit more wrinkles and be that guy who tries to get rid of people early, it might actually work. That's all I'm saying. And I know it looks better against a Brazil or a Stavern, but I'm not convinced that if he rushes Fury and tries to make it a four-round fight, that even with how much I love Fury, that he wouldn't still have a great chance of getting a knockdown or a knockout.
I agree with that, because for all of my complaining about this, all of my, honestly, you know, rough on my, analysis of how good Deontay Wilder is, that power is real. He is tall, long, a great athlete, especially for heavyweight boxing in this era. And that adds up to him being dangerous against anyone. He could be, you know, a lot of people I've seen on Twitter a few times the idea that Fury beats, you know, sort of the way the styles match up, Fury beats Wilder, Wilder beats Joshua, Joshua beats Fury. And you can sort of now, hopefully, unfortunately, since we will probably not see those fights in the next 2 years or whatever, we're going to have to keep imagining them like that. And that's I do kind of see how they all match up differently and could give, you know, have that kind of fun round robin where one guy is the kryptonite for the other, but there is no clear guy, clear winner of the three, because they all have their different strengths and weaknesses. And yeah, Deontay Wilder, if he commits to just knocking you out and you can't get out of the way of his punches, he will knock you out, because he's that part I do not doubt at all. And shoot, it's boxing. A knockout wins in right away. So that is a good, if had to pick one thing to be good at, he picked the right thing, because he's really only good at one thing, but he is the best at that one thing.
I mean, you know, and you could argue that why would he do that if he has such great stamina? And let's be honest, he went the distance with Stavern the first time only because his hand hurt. Fury's the only guy to go the distance against him in reality against a healthy Wilder. And even he came back from hell and got dropped twice. So my point on that is, if you're going to counter my argument of just become Tyson and go for it, every single opponent, as they get tired and Wilder doesn't, he figures them out late and takes them out. So maybe it's not the smartest move. I'm just saying maximize on his strengths. He's adding some wrinkles. I don't know if you saw that left uppercut to the body against Brazil. He's starting to sort of figure out within his own awkwardness what he's good at technically. And if he can make a run at being this killer, and maybe if he can't get Joshua and those other guys, go on a Golovkin type run of fighting every 3 months and just say whoever.
No. I heard this already, Brian. No. Stop that crap. How is he going to fight every 3 months? They don't have where are they going to get the money to pay him $5 million or whatever he's going to want every 3 months?
That is never happening.
He is trying to be a pay-per-view fighter. He wants to fight once or twice a year against bums and make us pay for it.
Wow. Okay, we'll get into where he's going next, but I'm just saying, from the idea of Eddie Hearn says it, AJ says it, everybody says it, you're the heavyweight champion of the world in America. You have the looks, you have the voice, you have the power, you have everything, and nobody knows who you are. Certainly his Wilder's profile has been raised from the Fury fight, and I would assume from Saturday's fight, but to really become that crossover guy and to make an AJ Wilder fight happened sooner because the economics demanded it, it couldn't hurt to just become this frickin' Bronze Bomber every single time and go for the kill. And by the way, as insensitive and off as his comments were last week, after our podcast aired, when he came out and did the whole Drago thing and said, if Brazil dies, he dies, make funeral arrangements, boxing's the only sport where you get paid to kill a man in a ring, I want a body on my record, all that stuff that turned everybody off. Hey, by the way,
said, here is something you can't understand. Yes. How I could just kill a man.
Now, look, is that insensitive in 2019 with our understandings of head trauma and people dying in the ring historically? Yes. But also, it's really good marketing. And if it's playing the villain for the first time actively, which, by the way, Floyd did to great financial success. And I actually think, Rafe, it brought a lot of attention to this fight. And look, it's a shtick, guys. Do you remember?
If he doesn't die, it doesn't count. If he's not dead, it doesn't count.
That's Tyson talking about Razor Ruddock. Tyson also said he would eat Lennox's children. It's a shtick. But my thing is, becoming the Bronze Bomber and trying to knock you out early, it fits well if you're also telling the press, I'm going to kill this man. So I'm just saying here, I was slow to come around that Wilder might actually end up being the last heavyweight standing. For a while in the AJ Wilder debate, I had AJ. And then once Fury came back and shown us that he could still be Fury, I now personally think Fury would be the last man standing if all three fought each other. But Wilder certainly has the wild card with that power, and I think what I saw on Saturday night is a steady improvement. Even though he took a step back in the Fury fight, definitely, I thought he lost that fight. I'm seeing a steady improvement that should he decide to just go for it, Rafe, there may not be anybody, including Tyson Fury, that can stop him. So it's an interesting debate. That was a scary knockout. I thought he set it up beautifully with that jab. It was a fun little fight for one round. Wow. I got a lot of wows coming at you. He's preached patience afterwards, Rafe, in the idea of AJ or Fury. And look, it's not going to happen this year, so people can get off of that. But are you okay with the Luis Ortiz rematch this year? A Konachki fight next spring? And then we see what we can do for next fall. Although Eddie Hearn is all over Twitter through Coppinger saying they want that fight now. So there's a lot of questions in there. Do you care about the Ortiz fight? Do you think we have to wait a year? And is it smart for Hearn, seeing what he did to Brazil, to go, you know what? Let's get Wilder now before he grows into this person we're talking about. I want you to answer all those questions for me.
Okay. Well, I do think that Wilder does have a nicer route to stringing along this process than, say, Fury or Anthony Joshua have, because those fights against Luis Ortiz and even Adam Konatsky, you look at them and say, all right, I actually don't hate those. They're much harder to just crap on and say, are you serious? Do we have to watch that? They're good fights. Ortiz almost won their revisit their collaboration, right? Ortiz
was up. He should have been up on all three scorecards, but the judges were setting up to screw him. We know this, and I don't think
that is true. But he almost knocked him out. He almost stopped him in the seventh round. So that is that was a fun fight. And I think he has a good argument for that rematch. For getting that rematch. Do I think that he would win it necessarily? I don't know. It's hard to say. But anyway, it's hard to complain about those fights for Deontay Wilder. It does set up it makes the other sides of the aisle, of the three-ringed aisle circus of the heavyweight division, it makes those a little less appealing, because after the Schwaz, who does Tyson Fury fight? Does he fight Oscar Rivas or Dillian White? Does he fight anyone decent? Do we get anything out of that? On the other side, you know, Oleksandr Usyk, of course, tore his bicep. He's out indefinitely, so we don't really know if, how, and when he's going to look, if when he returns to the heavyweight division. So that exciting wild card is out. Anthony Joshua, I don't know what is next for him if it can't be a big fight like Wilder or Tyson Fury. It's weird. It's a strange position to be in, but it just puts me in that, oh my God, I think I'm just rooting for Vladimir Klitschko to come back.
Yes.
Do I really want the USB stick to come back and inject a little bit of excitement or something? Something to look forward to in this division.
Yeah. I'm ready for it. Give it to me.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. I'm back. I want to go to the birthplace.
I love Ghana's daughter.
I want to go to the birthplace.
That is the birthplace of Ajay.
Of Ajayreff. It's Ray. The man has...
I would like to revisit their collaboration.
One more thing here from... remember the time he said...
During the 12th round, I'll get him for his pizza face, and then I will knock him out with a steel hammer in the 12th.
Oh, I love that man.
Great prediction. But, Brian, it upsets me. It upsets me that they're really milking it like this. Honestly, it makes me want to root. This is my position on the heavyweight division. I am rooting against all three of the top heavyweights because I don't like what they're doing.
So you want them to lose so they have to fight each other? Is that what you're saying?
I just don't want. I'm no longer rooting for good things to happen in their careers.
Oh wow!
So anyone can upset them. That's what I want to see because. They're screwing us. They're giving us the prostate exam.
Are you like actively rooting for like herpes for AJ or something?
No. I just would prefer for them to lose. You know, I don't care. There don't need to be any stitties involved.
No chlamydia from Lydia. Nothing like that.
Look, I mean, what happened with Mrs. Khan was a long time ago, man.
Rafe, I got a question to ask you from Jim Gray's collaboration on Saturday.
Hey.
Are you down with him really putting it on Wilder? Because there's a growing trend of there's a new take out there. I want to know if you would agree with it. I'm trying to think what podcast it was that I listened to last week that talked about this. Shout out to whoever did. Sorry for the lack of – but the whole idea, and it's not a new idea, but putting it like this, that, look – watch Amir Khan. Watch these other guys. If you actually want a certain fight and you publicly don't stop talking about it and in the back rooms you put nothing but pressure on your managers and promoters and networks, eventually that fight will get made. So from the standpoint that we can all sit around and go, oh, that's just boxing. Maybe it's AJ, Fury, and Wilder's fault completely, which is why you're saying you're wishing STDs on them. So are you okay when Jim Gray comes out and basically is like, well, Wilder, like – people don't want this. People don't want Luis Ortiz who's standing behind me. People don't want to see you fight Brazil. It's not acceptable. And by the way, what a ballsy Jim Gray move. Like, I was hoping Chad Curtis was going to come in the ring and flip him off or something. But, like, did you see Brazil refuse to be interviewed by him afterwards? Because in front of everybody, Jim just called him worthless, basically. But are you okay, ultimately, with Jim's rant and the idea that talk to me when you're ready because it's your fault?
What a difficult position you're putting me in here, Brian. I am not often sitting in these shoes and trying to figure out with a way to get out of the trap you've just laid where I'm going to say, yeah, that was actually a good thing that Jim Gray did. And I don't love him. Well, it's weird because I just spent this entire podcast being pretty perhaps unfairly negative about Dominic Brazil.
You basically were like,
oh, wait, was he a great big fat person?
Yeah, I mean, come on, Rafe.
It's hard for me to turn around and be like, that bastard Jim Gray showing no respect for a fighter in the ring. Of course, I am just a man behind the keyboard. I am a washed nobody. That means I'm allowed to be a total jerk off. We should not strive to do that. Do not do that, guy. Don't be me. I both understand why Brazil was like, look, I'm not talking to you, dude. Like, you just said nobody wants to see me fight. Even though there is some truth to that, I think that overall, whether or not, you know, Jim Gray's delivery, I think every time he goes up there and does his I'm going to challenge an athlete thing, I think I kind of get the feeling that he's doing it more for himself, or it comes off a little self-aggrandizing. He's putting himself over in wrestling terms. But it may be for the greater good in this, in that, yes, I...
Are you with me, Rafe? Please.
With you.
Speak it.
I am with you, Brian.
Speak it, receive it.
All right. I will speak it, believe it. Hopefully it will be received. Anything that keeps the pressure on these actually just make the decision to face each other rather than playing out the string, even when there are a decent number of respectable heavyweight opponents out there, right? Dillian White is there. See, that was one of my problems with this Wilder fight. How did Dominic Brazil get the WBC nod over Dillian White when the WBC playing these silly games with their rankings so they could get the guy they want in there? I think Wilder knocks out Dillian White also, maybe early if he commits to it in the way you're talking about. But that's a real fight. And Dillian White would have a live shot of winning. Brazil, unfortunately, is just not a live dog in that fight. Even though him coming to win in that fight just meant he was an easier mark because he was going in there and trusting his ability to take punches from Deontay Wilder. Don't do that, folks.
Well,
don't
like
try
that. People
that.
Made fun of him for that when. Okay, so what are you going to do? Do an Eric Molina and linger for 6, 7, 8 rounds and try to land a couple counter jabs and then
yes.
eventually get stopped when you tire out? We learned
strategy,
nothing from that.
There's nothing wrong with giving yourself the best chance to win a fight. And
no,
if you're in against someone that dangerous, you don't going in there and being
the
like man to man with them is not always smart if you don't have the skills for it.
If you get into about the 6th, 7th round, especially if you're a great big fat person, you're not going to give yourself the best chance by lingering late because Wilder doesn't get tired and he typically takes a while to figure you out and will finish you late. I think the best chance to actually get Wilder is to realize that heavyweights are big and they can punch and everybody's vulnerable and attack him. Yes, you're walking into oncoming traffic, but that may be the only way to beat him. Ortiz looked like he was outclassing him and the judges had Wilder up across the board as PBC's money man. It's frustrating. You got to strap it on and do it.
Strapping it on and going toe-to-toe with a foe is something most of us will never experience.
So we may not understand it, but I think that was the best way to try to win for Brazil, to gain respect and try to hurt Wilder. Guess what? He got sent to hell. He probably was anyway, Rafe.
In my opinion, he's a sacrificial lamb.
No, he's a suitable contender, and he went for it, and he came up empty. Are you okay with Wilder Ortiz, too? Is there actually enough intrigue to be built up to say, well, look, Ortiz was the better fighter that night. Wilder just courageously fought through the storm, and then as Ortiz started to tire, put him away. Do you think the fight would be any more or less competitive? What do you think?
It's interesting. I think I am okay with it. I was toying with the idea of saying, you know what? I'm not okay with any of these interim fights, these marination fights, even ones that are respectable and decent matchups like Ortiz Wilder 2 would be. But we gotta be honest and take each fight as it comes. Wilder Ortiz, a rematch is a fight worth watching. It would lend some credence to this idea that Wilder's developing if he could come out and get an early knockout of Luis Ortiz and actually make a statement like, no, I am better now. I have more confidence. I have a little bit more technique. I have a little bit more going on. And this is actually a man who is developing in the ring. It may or may not be the case. It's a worthy fight to watch. It's also one that still makes you kind of pissed off that you're seeing that rather than the fights that really matter the most in this division. So yes, it's a good fight. I'm still ticked off about. I'm also, it also makes me think of Adam Kownacki. He's a guy who's going to get splattered by Deontay Wilder. Cause yes, he has some craft, but he's going to do the Brazil thing. He's going to do what you like to do and come in with a terrible game plan for Deontay Wilder, which is like, I am going into a fight against a tank with a rock. And going to just run into it. That ain't going to work against this guy. Anyway. While Ortiz too, I think he get. I don't know, man. It's worth seeing. I have a feeling that actually Wilder could come out and just blow him out if
Ortiz. It would be
very
impressive. It would be insane. Like that might make him a star. I'm serious. Like I think that he's turning the corner. I think that people are finally, you know, look. But that's the thing about my argument about being a Golovkin, which you say can't happen financially, and maybe you're right. But guess what? Being a Golovkin does. constantly puts gifs on the internet, which grabs casual big gift, yeah, big gift to people, and it grabs casual fans and says, you need to watch this fella that you heard of but don't know a ton about.
Find me fighting on June 1st at MSG, Liverpool MC in NYC, holding it down. I ain't a clown, I'm ready to rebound. I'ma knock Miller out around the 8th round. He can't round with the champ. I lick him down like a stamp. I'm going to come with the clown.
Wow. Transition there, Rafe, because the heavyweight conversation will only continue in the next few weeks. We, of course, have AJ, Andy Ruiz Jr. June 1st, and then June 15th.
Fury needs the Schwartz, and then another fight.
And may the Schwartz be with you.
So we'll be able to grade their performances against one another and sort of continue this discussion. Rafe, before we get into Do You Care to close this show, we do have a special guest sliding in to have a conversation that we need to have here. Hold on a second. Rafe, I've got my co-host on the State of Combat MMA show here, South Florida's own Brandon Wise, making a cameo. I'm down in the Fort Lauderdale office, as we established. Rafe, I don't know if you've been woke to this Twitter thing that's going on, this MMA show thing. I know you don't mess with MMA for very smart and understandable reasons.
UFC are a bunch of skinhead white guys watching people in the ring who are also look like skinhead white guys.
Rafe, this tall drink of water, Brandon Wise at 6'5 and like 240, who's in the best shape of his life, has challenged me to a sparring match that will take place. The parameters are before the end of 2019. I have yet to get unwasheth and enter training camp. This guy's peaking in prime. Did I make a bad choice? How do I win this fight? What does this fight look like, Rafe? Three rounds with headgear and 16-ounce gloves.
I hate to break this. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, my friend, but you know what we were saying earlier about Nonito Donaire getting to fight Inoue later this year?
This guy Wise is not the monster. He's got to be able to see if I could get my stamina.
You,
up.
My friend, are not Nonito.
All right.
I mean, it may be the ugliest sparrings. Carson and Jamel Charlo.
Oh,
I mean,
that.
where are we going
that.
With this? Is this? Are you? Do you think you're going to come in there and have a legendary night like Paul Spadafora against Floyd Mayweather?
I may look like 2016 Paul Spadafora knifing his brother at a Pittsburgh bar. But why? Okay, Wise is a full on heavyweight, a southpaw who goes to the body. Wise, why am I putting you over here? Speak. You're part of the show.
I mean, you're putting me over because you're scared. And no, that's the whole reason of that we're doing this is because you're scared. And that when I called you out on Twitter, you were like, oh, now I got to defend myself.
Well,
now I got to go 8 miles
look,
and put this out there.
I'll defend my own show and my own name. But Rafe, here's the deal. He's very Kovalev-like. Like, look at him. You can kind of see it, right? I'm gonna go, not like necessarily the racism, but more just like –
not the racism and the sexual assault
target. Not
just the viciousness.
What if I Andre Ward him and just crowd him?
How are you going to get inside on me, though? You don't have the length.
You better effing get
inside on him. I think it's possible, not just to survive, but to potentially thrive, Rafe. I'm going to have to work on my in-game. I'm going to have to get stamina to peak all-time levels. But you be my Rachel Donaire. I will, in fact, risk it all for you, Rafe, if you're wondering, just so you know. But would you advise me to Jack?
I will be in the locker room with you after that fight. No, you can never jack, okay, Brian? We know that. That's rule number one. It's too late, although I do like how you've been.
Yeah, what do you got?
I like how you've been playing the A side in this very, very well on social media. Really not engaging too much whenever Brandon calls you out. Because Brandon's out here dropping little breadcrumbs all the time. And you're just sort of looking the other way. I got bigger fish to fry. I'm the A side in this. But eventually, you know, fate will come calling, Brian, and I will be there in the locker room afterwards for you to be like Miguel Cotto, and I'll be like, you have to stop this, Brian. You can't do this anymore. And like, this podcasting is all I know.
Yeah. Here's the deal, Rafe. This is very Karate Kid Part 3, very Miyagi Daniel here. Will you train me for this fight? Even
wow.
if you feel like you know how it's going to end.
Are we going to be on the beach, Rocky and Apollo style?
Half shirts, yes. And is
with
there,
the tube socks. Real ugly.
Is there potential, Rafe, that Wise is going to peak too early here? He's entering best shape of his life since his days at North Boca playing left tackle.
He keeps saying this. How am I going to peak too early when you're going to blow your load in the first minute of the first round?
Oh, God. I mean, well, what? That's a fair question, Rafe. What role will hashtag LoadWatch 2019 play in this fight?
Probably, even in three rounds, I would expect it to be a pretty significant issue. And that's the other thing with the peaking argument, Brian. Usually, even let's say that's true, that usually doesn't come into play in a three-round fight. That would be a big drop-off. It's not like he's running out of gas late in the fight. He's only got three rounds against Washed Campbell.
Well, I have a stiff jab. And I don't know. Maybe I'll just have to go full on B-Hop and do the mental games.
I was in your ass. Oh, you were ready to quit, and you was blowing and puffing, and went to your corner like a rag doll, done, defeated, and knew that you lost that fight.
That's how gangster I am. Yes, Rafe?
I could see that, Brian. But I think when you say you should go full B-Hop, what you really mean is you should get entangled with Brandon, have you both fall down, and then point at your shoulder a lot. And be like, I have a separation. You know, big, find a way out. Headbutts. Try these things. Get disqualified. Low blow. It's not a blow blow.
Not a blow blow.
If you, no. You know, you, find a way out is what you need to do.
All right. If you are agreeing to train me, is this, we're going live on the record, Rafe. Will you train me? How long of a training camp? Right now, I'm 40 years old. I'm 6'1 and a half, 224 pounds. And my doctor we know what happened. We know what happened in that, Rafe. After checking my prostate, he said, I'm going to need you to get your cholesterol down. I'm going to need you to lose about 10 pounds around your stomach. How long of a training camp do I need here, Rafe?
I think you want to get at least 4 weeks in, maybe six.
All right.
Eight. You might just work out in general.
Would you advise against any other checks, a second prostate exam possibly?
Do you slip her the hot beef injection?
I'm not going to go full Devin Alexander on you here.
Well, once
we know what happens. Once that is stretched, you are destroyed. So be careful with those. But it's also, look, let's be serious and talk about men's health for a minute. Don't be that guy who won't let the doctor do that thing in that area because it's preventative care, Brian, and it's something we all got to do.
All right. Well, as the A-side, Brando, I'm considering a catch weight. Because Rafe, if I could dehydrate him down, if I say, look, I'm ready for this fight. I'm ready to go three with you, but it's got to be at 230 or less. That could be a potential move in my playbook. Or maybe, I know Brandon's not – how old are you, Brandon?
I'm 27.
27. What if I
that you realize that is literally an athlete's prime?
What if I put an early prostate test on the in the contract?
What? Why would I agree to that?
Look, A-side, you know when you're
he'll throw in an extra 200,000.
Pesos.
Yeah. All right, Wise. You got any final messages? Any warnings? Where are we staging this? It has to be in South Florida, right?
I don't care, man. I told you before, I will go wherever I need to go to get this done just so that I can mock you for the rest of my life.
Right. His southpaw stance, my lead right is going to play.
Oh my God. You got to deal with southpaw too? Oh, and watch. He'll switch stances. He'll go Bud Crawford, Mick Jagger on you all of a sudden. Switch hitting.
No, we don't switch hit there.
Brian, you know, there is a great legendary boxing promoter in Fort Lauderdale in South Florida who might be able to really make this big. You know who I'm talking about, right?
I have no idea.
Only in America, Don King God. Is still down there.
We don't do business with the devil on this show, okay? We don't do it. We don't tinkle with the Finkel.
Let me tell you, don't you tinkle with the Finkel.
We're tinkling with a winkle.
All I'm saying, Wise, is get down. What are you at right now, 240?
I'm about 240 right now, and you're telling me to get down to 230. Like, that's my goal anyway, so that's not dehydrating me at all.
Meet me there. What, Rafe, where do you, if I'm 224 and a little washed, would you recommend me to get down to about 215 or just bulk it up?
No, I would recommend for you to lose weight. Like, obey your doctor's orders. Get in the cardio, being able to be upright for that entire 9 minutes is going to be a challenge on its own. I mean, go shadow box for 3 rounds and see how that feels.
He told me after I started training, he said he went and shadow boxed in the mirror for 30 seconds and he got winded.
That's an honest thing. I mean, look, shadow box, that takes it out of you. Throwing punches is a different thing. But
I'm not in camp right now, all right?
That's a reason why lose the weight, try and get a little bit of wind back. Lay off the quesadillas in Vegas, and say your prayers.
I got one message for Wise.
Okay, tell your family to write their will out. You're in trouble.
Okay, and look, this may be the best. We often debate what's the best washed win in history, right? We say Foreman knocking out Moore. We say Eric Morales, my campeón, almost beating Marcos Maidana, almost getting a draw. This, we may add this to the lexicon, Rafe. Washed Campbell.
Legendary Knights, Campbell Wise.
Yes, yes. Thank you for dropping in the right name and the right A-side. Wise, you got any other messages before you get out of here? We could check you out Tuesdays on the MMA show as well.
You're done.
All right. All right, Rafe, it's do you care time. We'll begin with Campbell Wise, late 2019 in Fort Lauderdale. Do you care?
Oh, yes, I care. Okay. I have skin in the game, you know.
How much skin? That's gross. All right, let's break this thing down. Special thanks to Brandon Wise for joining us. This week, Rafe, we go Thursday night, Tucson, Arizona, UFC Fight Pass. Rafe, there's too much televised boxing. Ikram Kerwat versus Simone Da Silva, 10 rounds, female lightweights. Do you care?
Sorry, I was like, oh, those are female? I don't know. Sorry. No, I don't care.
All right. Friday from Chonburi, Thailand, it's Wahang Meniathon versus Tatsuya Fukuhara.
Again?
Rematch for Meniathon's WBC strawweight title. Didn't they fight last week, Rafe?
I swear that Wahang was fighting less like a month ago. Well, good for him. He's like 58-0 and very active.
Wow, Wahang. That sounds, yeah, that's, you should get that looked at.
I need a Wahang.
Saturday night, Kissimmee, Florida. ESPN, Rafe. No plus. On the damn ESPN. It's a title fight main event, Masayuki Ito versus Jamel Herring, 12 rounds for Ito's WBO junior lightweight title. The fighting Marine, Jamel Herring. You care?
Judge Lance Ito coming back to the boxing ring one last time. I don't really care, Brian. I don't really care.
And the co-main, Sniper Pedraza, is back against Antonio Lozada, 10 rounds lightweights.
I care a little bit, man. I was really impressed with Pedraza's performance against Vasily Lomachenko.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I want to see if he can keep that up.
Deep on
even
this,
against a bummer guy.
Deep on this undercard, Carlos Cuadras, complete with back knee, will face Daniel Lozano, 8 rounds bantamweight.
That's an interesting fight. I think Daniel Lozano, he's moving up from – he might be moving up a lot.
Didn't he go the distance against Inoue? Isn't he one of two guys that went the distance against Inoue? Did I just make that up?
We're making all this stuff. I think it's probably like 6 different guys we're thinking of and getting wrong at this point. It may be worth checking. It looks like you're doing some typing there and your eyes are moving back and forth across the screen. But in any case, Cuadras, yeah, let's see what he got. He was in rehab. He's been through some stuff. He's a fun fighter he had his fight against Chocolatito and his fight against Estrada were both damn fun fights. So if he can get his act back together, I'm down. Have maybe like a Giovanni Segura type second half to his career where he makes some fun fights. I'm in for that.
I was thinking of David Carmona, who went the distance against Inoue. And also, by the way, David Carmona beat this man we're talking about, Daniel Lozano. I don't think anybody cares. All right, Rafe, rolling on here. Saturday night. Do you care about this, Rafe? Biloxi, Mississippi, FS1, Austin Trout versus Terrell Gaucher, former champion against a former title contender, 10 rounds, junior middleweights. You would think in a fun-ass loaded division right now where everything's upside down and J-Rock might be the king and Lara's lingering and there's a Charlo and there's a Harrison. Do you think the winner of Trout Gaucher on Saturday walks right into a title shot?
I do think that is a very likely scenario, and that gives both of these a real reason. Want to put on a good performance, come out with an impressive looking win because, yeah, junior middleweight is finally getting some of the hype. It's deserved. It's starting, it's becoming a hot division. It's been competitive in this way for a long time, but these good fights, honestly, I give a lot of the credit to Jared Hurd for fighting such a fan friendly style and making these a handful of fun fights in succession, except for the one against the Backstreet Boy when he was coming off the shoulder injury.
Jason Wellborn,
but,
thank you.
Yeah, yes. Brian never messes up a white fighter's name. He's on top of it.
Are we really going down this road? Come on. Wow.
But anyway, this is a good opportunity, good moment for the division. And I care. You know, I've got a soft spot for Trout. I always will. It's one of these great guys. Really comes to fight every time. We know what's good and what's bad about him. Little long in the tooth, but we are. I root for that guy. He's just in my feel spots. Man. He has a little place there.
I think that this fight has potential to actually be a sneaky action fight. I hosted the PBC Face to Face, of which you can watch on the Fox Sports Go app or check your local listings for replays. And it was surprisingly tense and back and forth, and they realized what's at stake here. Trout said he was on his way to welterweight, which not many people know. At 33, he thinks that he can cut down to 147 and be a major player right away, and says he only fought at 54 because it was easier not to have to cuff the weight. He says
– Can't wait for Trout versus Mikey Garcia on pay-per-view sometime next year.
So he's stopping here against Gaucher because they got a little bit of words 2 years ago. It's going to be interesting, Rafe. I think Trout, he's come so close against the very best in this division in recent years. This would be a good win if we beat Gaucher, an Olympian, a guy who can really box. It would be interesting. And he says he promised a knockout, which is not Trout's way. But I don't know, Rafe. I want to see what happens. That's all I got to say about that. Co-main event.
I'm with you.
Chordale Booker versus Wally Amatoso, 10 rounds. Junior middleweights, you don't
care. Lucky boy. Damn. Lucky boy Omotoso is fighting in co-mains in 2019?
Yeah.
Boxers sleep with a lot of women.
Our boy, the Egyptian magician, Ahmed El Bialy versus Marlos Samoz, 10 rounds light heavyweights.
Shoot, might as well throw him in the co-main too.
Carlos Negron, who lost to Brazil last time, is going to face Daniel Martz on this undercard, which I believe is that West Virginia Husky white boy that Luis Ortiz sent to hell after failing that drug test that time in Miami. Remember that?
I do. Hey, you know, that I don't care about this fight, though. That's all I can say.
Antonio Tarver Jr. versus Thomas Hill, 8 rounds middleweights. No, nothing.
Have you seen – is that actually Tarver's son? Have you seen him fight?
Yeah, he's got a couple of fights. He's okay. Nothing serious here. Saturday from Oxon Hill, Maryland at that MGM thing. In the zone, Rafe, making his streaming debut. It's Devin Haney against Antonio Moran, 10 rounds lightweights. You into this?
I care about Devin Haney. It's a bummer that, of course, this was supposed to be Usyk's heavyweight debut against Carlos Takam. The injury happened. It's not in the cards. Hopefully, Usyk comes back later this year. But I do care about Devin Haney. He's one of these prospects that we got to keep an eye on.
In the co-main event, Michael Hunter, who lost to Usyk at the same arena, is going to take on Fabio Maldonado. You may remember him as a UFC heavyweight who went to Russia post-UFC and got robbed against Fedor Emelianenko about 3 years ago in a 10 or 12 round heavyweight bout. You don't care about this, Rafe, right?
I do not care.
Filip Ergovic on this card against Greg Corbin, 10 rounds heavyweights.
Oh, yeah. I want to see what Ergovic can do.
Rafe, this show's almost over, but you're rocking like you look like you might crap in a water bottle soon.
Yeah, that's what we're dealing with
right
now.
All right. Do you care about the title fight on this undercard? Jessica McCaskill versus Anahi Santos?
Nope. No. All right. Senator Claire McCaskill is boxing now?
Saturday from Manchester, England, not on American TV, Huey Fury versus Chris Norad, 12 rounds heavyweights.
Do not care.
All right. And from Poland, it's a title fight. Yua Brodnicka versus Janeth Perez. 10 rounds for Brodnicka's WBO Women's Junior. Yeah,
right. I was about to say male or female. What are we talking about here? And yeah, I always care. Polish boxing Twitter forever wins everything. And undefeated. GOAT Twitter.
Doubleheader of title fights Sunday from Fuzhou, China. In the main event, it's Zhu Khan versus Shun Kubo for Khan's WBA regular featherweight title.
And I like Zhu Khan. You remember him? That fight on DAZN, that was one of the early year, I'm into this slop.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, in the co-main, Carlos Canizales versus Sho Kimura, 12 rounds, WBA regular junior flyweight title. Man, you're going to pee your pants. I know you don't care that much. End of the show. Special thanks to Rafe Boggs for joining us this week. That's all I got here. And by the way, anyone who thinks I'm going to die, Brandon Weiss has a back injury, all right? I'm going to exploit this young man's back injury.
I broke my back.
All right, I'm going to win this sparring match with Rafe in my corner. Rafe, any message for the people before you pee?
I need to release. I'm out. I don't know about you, Brian.
Go. Get out of here. Go. No. Yeah. Wow. Hey, check out our other offerings this week from the State of Combat and the sports of mixed martial arts on Tuesday, pro wrestling on Wednesday. Thank you for joining us.
Suck my nuts. You ain't doing it, so be quiet. Either want to watch it or you don't want to watch it. That's what you should say. Be quiet. Wow. Stop it. Back in your box.
Wow. Apparently it's all about the lube there. Yeah, we're out. That's it. We're out. Thank you.